Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to this edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I first was introduced to the work of our next guest some 7 years ago. I was reading his book, The Book of Awakening, and I think it really helped me to understand not only the importance of how precious our lives are, but how all of us can make a difference in the world, one person at a time. Mark Nepo has become one of those go-to people when it comes to trying to find the right words to say, and the right words, I think, to understand, too, not only where we are as human beings, but where we can go. His book that recently has gotten a lot of attention is Reduced to Joy. We're going to be talking to him not only about that book, but what it's been like for him to be able to share all that he is with the world. Mark, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine, Mark. I was sharing with you right before we went live here that it was about 7 years ago that I first read The Book of Awakening. And even though, you know, the book has been published now over a decade ago, you still are in the top 10, you know, of books of inspirational and spirituality books in hardcover. And even your Kindle version of that particular book, The Book of Awakening, is in the top 20. What has it been like for you, Mark, to be able to not only to go throughout your journey in life, but to be able to help people through their own, through your words?
Well, it's all a blessing. You know, from my work, I'm a long-term cancer survivor, 26 yeah. years. And you know, it's just always humble just to be here at all. And I think that I've learned, and especially with the Book of Awakening, you know, I often have folks share with me kindly that, oh, this, it's like you wrote this day just for me. And, you know, that's, I'm not really that smart, but what I think that reflects is, you know, when any of us, whether we write it down or not, when we can touch in deeply and honestly into our own center of our humanity, we touch into the center of everybody's humanity because we all meet in the center. So,
right.
When you know, when you, if I look far enough into me, I find you. And it, and the same way, if you look far enough into you, you find me. So, you know, when we can be that honest, and that's my goal every time I write, then maybe I'll touch into the center of other people's experience, and we can meet there together. And so it's very humbling and touching to be able to connect with people that way.
Exactly. You talk about that connection with people, Mark, and I remember reading, and I had made a note of it even as I was prepping for this segment with you in the Book of Awakening. You begin in January, with January 1 in the book, really, I think, helping us to appreciate, you know, the very existence of ourselves. And what I thought about, and that seems like such a simple thing, but you know, just like I know, Mark, that unfortunately there are some people out there that don't appreciate themselves because of either what they've been told about who they are or even about, you know, the way that they see themselves. When did you start to realize the gift that you were in the world?
Oh, you know, I think as I, you know, I have just growing up and just coming of age, it goes with the territory. Everybody goes through trying to discover their gift and that you have some kind of worth. And I think that was, as I really was going through my cancer journey, I kind of was reduced with no, through no wisdom. And I was in my mid-30s, no wisdom on my part, I have to say. But, you know, I was just, and this gets us to Reduce to Joy, I was worn down to only what was essential. And when I hit kind of that bottom, I had something solid to stand on, which I was born with. And we all have that. And, you know, we're all very, very, very human. So, you know, look how many times we blink in a day. Look how many times we inhale and exhale. And so no one can stay awake and appreciate how rare it is to be here all the time. We
right.
are awake and then we're numb and we're sensitive and then we inadvertently hurt each other. And so being human is this incredible practice of return, of reawakening and reimagining and reappreciating, you know, what it means to be here. And it is rare to be here at all. And when we
right.
can glimpse that, all of a sudden the miracle of life, which never goes away, suddenly everything has a glow to it. Suddenly I look at you, even though I've known you for years, and I go, oh, my God, it's you. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, you say in the Book of Awakening that I'm going to be moving on to Reduce to Joy, you said something else that really struck me on January the 10th in the book, Mark, and this statement in itself, I think so many people, especially in the world we live in today, can appreciate. You say this, we are born with only one obligation, to be completely who we are. Yet how much of our time is spent comparing ourselves to others, dead and alive? This is encouraged as necessary in the pursuit of excellence, yet a flower in its excellence does not yearn to be a fish, and a fish in its unmanaged elegance does not long to be a tiger. But we humans find ourselves always falling into the dream of another life. And then I love that because I think that is the beauty of who we are as individuals, and I think the embracing of that is, I think, what makes us strong as a race of people, as a human race, but also, I think, you know, helps us in understanding other people. You just talked about, you know, the moment of really seeing somebody, Mark, and I think that is the thing about people who read your work. I think that is what we all take away with, that you seem to really get it. Do you think it is, as you say in Reduced to Joy, that sometimes it really is about how we look at life, how we look at the challenges, how we look at the difficulties, and that kind of helps us to better understand and appreciate the rest of us and the rest of our lives?
Yeah, I think, you know, I found through my experience that the goal is really to open our hearts to the entire wholeness of the human journey. We spend too much time in our age and in our society trying to sort good from bad, positive from negative, and, you know, oh, I'll stay away from this, stay cheery. And, you know, the human journey can't be separated. The older I get, the more I feel deeply all things at once. And I think that an open heart after a time, the way the ocean receives everything that goes into it, the human heart is meant to receive everything and let it all mix. And then there's a wisdom of the heart that surfaces beyond the sorting of good and bad, because it's, you know, I know another thing that I'm writing, actually I have a new book coming out too in the fall called The Endless Practice and Becoming Who You Were Born to Be. And in there, mm-hmm, I have a chapter that's called What's in the Way is the Way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, we nobody likes trouble. Nobody likes pain. But you know, it's part of the friction of being alive. And somehow, whatever you believe is larger than us, you may call it, called by a thousand different names, God, Tao, Buddha, Dharma, Atman, you name it. Physics, if you're a scientist, whatever you, you know, nature, but whatever it is that has designed this miraculous journey of life, somehow it's been designed just hard enough that we need each other.
Yes.
Just hard enough that, you know, no one can live your life for you or me for mine, but no one can make it alone. And part of that is that what's in the way is the way. It's how we are transformed and deepened into greater and greater relationships. You know, I think one thing that's so important is that, you know, there's nothing wrong with having goals and plans. You know, Winston Churchill said that
right,
planning is essential, but plans are useless. And, you know, but the thing is, wherever we think we're going, there's nowhere to go.
Mm.
It's all about inhabiting our aliveness as much as possible. And the dreams are just a way to do that. The places we think we're going are just a way to come alive. But, you know, when we're stopped, whether it's by joy or pain or great love or suffering or confusion or amazement, everything we need is right here before us in whatever moment we're in.
I tell you, that is it, and that is so, and that is the truth, I think, that so many of us realize. And even though we may realize it at different times in our lives, Mark, I think it is a truth that is inevitable for us to come to. For those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. Mark Nepo is our guest today. We're talking to him not only about his gift of words, but how he's been able to share that gift with the world. I first was introduced to Mark's work through the Book of Awakening and being able, of course, to appreciate the importance of having the life you want by being present to the life you have. Mark has really shared that message again in Reduced to Joy. And Mark, I mentioned to you before we went live here, and you were gracious enough to say that you would actually read these passages as well. It was two of them I wanted to share with our listeners today. The first is Holding the Gun. I think such a powerful piece. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about the backstory behind this one?
Oh, sure. This is a poem. And, you know, I just think that so much of the pain that we inflict on each other, you know, there's the friction of being alive, which is unavoidable. You know, everybody's going to go through falling down, getting hurt, you know, being disappointed, experiencing loss. But when we don't face with humility who we are and what we do to each other and own it, now then we add pain to the world. And I was thinking about that, my own participation in that, everyone's, and how that's, you know, in every age, it's just everywhere, that led to this poem called Holding the Gun. No one wants to admit it is our suffering that awakens us to the many ways we hold the gun. If blessed, we return in the middle of an argument undone by the light on our enemy's lip. Or while sharpening a knife, we cut ourselves, and the trickle of blood stains our list of grievances. What if pain, the kind that opens a fist, is really the tap of an angel saving us from ourselves?
Wow. I think that is the thing. And I think I love the fact that you have always in your work, whether it's the Book of Awakening or even Reduced to Joy, Mark, it's all about the question. And I love the fact that you seem to be a person who never stops asking the questions. Do you think that's been to why you have been so excited about life? Because you are always learning and always eager to learn.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, questions, you know, that's another thing. I think we've been miseducated to think that we ask questions to get answers. Questions are really like doorways that we open to go through together. So I need to ask a question of you the way I would open a door that I would want to go through with you, whether it's to the outside or to a meadow or to the sea or to the incredible, you know, wisdom that's in each other's heart, whatever it might be. So, you know, questions, I love questions. I include questions in a lot of my books to try to bring the work into our personal lives. Because the things that are universal, if they matter, they're incredibly personal.
Right.
They only matter as you and I can take the next step in front of us and apply it to the situation at hand. You know, Mother Teresa, her anthem was "Do small things with love."
Mm-hmm.
That was it, just do small things with love. And I think that, you know, this is one of the things, you know, our heart is infinite, so it can love everything. But the only way we live that love is loving one thing at a time.
Right.
I can love humanity, but I can only love humanity by loving you, and then you loving the person next to you, and they the person next to them. You know, I can't care for everybody in the day-to-day, but if I love with all my heart, that love will ripple like rain in the lake and affect everything. Everything.
Exactly.
And, you know,
and
the
that
other thing I would...
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to say from this poem is, and you know, the poems are the teacher. I retrieve them and I don't know what they're going to say. I discover what's in them and learn from them. And one of the things I learned from this poem is, you know, no matter how, you know, wrong we think we've been, and this is the thing that paradox, you know, that more than one thing can be true at the same time. So I might have a legitimate list of grievances.
Right.
But until I somehow cut myself getting ready for revenge, then I'm not even open to the humanity of everyone involved. It doesn't make what happened, whatever it is to me, right. Now, this is one of the difficult things I've learned in life for me is that, you know, sometimes justice and healing are the same thing. But a lot of times, and I don't know why, but a lot of times they're not. So every once in a while, we're asked to choose between justice and healing. We're asked to choose, or we're asked to find justice through healing rather than through vengeance or an eye for an eye. Because, you know, we can be wounded and we can be hurt. But if we just keep our wounds from healing so we have evidence, we might be doing that for a trial that never comes. And we never let ourselves heal. Wow. That's, you know, that's profound. So I don't, you know, again, most of the things that matter most, we can't really know why. But we need to lean into opening the heart to how all these things go together, which is often much more deeper than the mind can fathom.
That is so true, Mark. And I think what you just said ties so well into the second piece that I wanted you to share with us that I really got so much out of. And I think it's because I think all of us kind of know what it's like to have life slow us down, but also I think open us up. And that is what I got from staying warm. Tell us a little bit about that one and sharing that experience with your father.
Yeah, and I have to say it's even more poignant because since this book has been published, you know, my father passed away last September, and he was 93. So, you know, there's been a lot in processing, you know, his loss and his presence and his absence. But this is a poem that, you know, my father and I, for many years, we weren't in contact. And then we reconnected after about 15 years of not being in contact. And so in the last 8 years maybe of his life, so, you know, from his, you know, his mid-80s till his death, we really were complete and very close. And so I kind of met him in the deepest way when he was older and when I was older. And so this is a poem that I wrote as we started to reconnect called Staying Warm. Now that my father can barely walk, I send him socks to keep him warm. He's overjoyed. Now that he can't go very far, he finally has time to wonder what I do. Now he travels backwards and tells me of his first chisel and his love of wood. We have small conversations that rise like smoke from the fire in the mountain of fathers and sons. After years of silence, it's more than enough.
Mm. Yeah. You know, now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, one thing that, you know, was so touching in my journey with him was, you know, I have a hearing aid because of hearing loss from chemo I had many, many years ago. And my father had several strokes along the way. So, you know, he was having trouble. It was hard for him to speak. So we'd be on the phone, and he had trouble speaking, and I had trouble hearing, you know, and I'd be straining and straining, trying not to, you know, we're connecting after all these years, trying not to miss what he was saying. And then one day, all of a sudden, I just kind of got it at a deeper level. You know, it didn't matter what he said or what I heard. It was like he was like a papa whale in the ocean, and I was like, you know, a baby whale. We were just mewing at each other. And as long as we received each other's signals, you know, it didn't really matter what he said or I heard, just as long as we were popping our heads up and connecting.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and as you said, it's enough. And I think that's the thing. I think, too, what I got from that, too, Mark, when I was reading it and why I wanted to share it, is because I think sometimes we expect this big awakening or this big break, you know, and things just to go and, you know, these long conversations. And really, I think it's really just about finding what is the balance for you. And I think being able to walk in that balance and to be able to be present there for each other, however that might come through. And I think for so many people, you know, it all begins that way. You know, it all begins, you know, with just making that first step. And it can be such a little thing to some, but it can really mean so much. And I think that is the great thing, again, about Reduced to Joy. Again, everyone, I've been speaking with Mark Nepo. He is not only a best-selling author, but also a spiritual teacher that, you know, that really, I think, does get to the heart of what it means to live and to really appreciate life and the contribution that all of us can make with life. The book that we've been discussing today, it was the Book of Awakening as well as Reduced to Joy. Mark also mentioned, of course, he has a new book that is coming out soon. Mark, where is the best place for our listeners to go to stay connected with you and what's coming up next for you?
Oh, sure. So, well, there's two websites, marknepo.com and 3intention, all spelled out as one word, .com, 3intention.com. And that has, you know, all of my books. Of course, my books are all on Amazon and everywhere you can get them. And that also has where I'll be teaching and speaking. And, you know, one exciting thing is this fall, I'm going to be part of Oprah's has a live tour in the fall, which you can check out at oprah.com/tour. And I'm going to be part of that tour. I'm very excited in 4 of the 8 cities in the fall.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be really an exciting thing. It's kind of unprecedented, this live tour to be in, kind of major arenas around the country. So, yeah, it's very exciting.
So definitely,
time we have, I was going to tell you what we were talking about just before. I wanted to share, because this focus on where the miracle of life is in the little things before us, you know, there's
right.
another, in another book of mine, that's the Book of Stories, as far as the heart can see, I tell a very short story about, called Cain and Abel. And what it talks about is two brothers, and they each find a tiny berry in their weaker hand. And one of them is made bitter. He looks at it and he goes, basically he says, is that it? After all I've worked hard and all I've done and all I've been through, that's all I get is one stinking berry. But the other brother, he looks at it and goes, oh my God, how come I never noticed? The whole world is in that little berry. Oh my God, it's right here in front of me. And he takes the berry and closes his eyes and he eats it and feels its sweetness through his whole body. And we have both of those voices. We carry them in each of us every day. And every day we have a choice about the conversation we're going to have. Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the voice that says, is that it? That's it? One stinking berry? Or are we going to go, oh my God, it's been here all along. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize. And eat the berry.
That is powerful, and that is so true. And I love that, Mark, because it puts the power back in our hands. You know, so many times we try to say that things are happening, you know, to us. You know, but then I think being able to appreciate, you know, what you are bringing through just the way that you are approaching life. You know, how your whole perspective, and I think that is really what that shows. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I think that is in itself powerful because, as you said, as we are faced with these choices, you know, with our way of being able to look at life, look at the world, look at what we can do, it really is about whether we say what can't be done or really what has already been there. And I think that is the gift that life has for us as we continue to learn every day. Mark, I have to tell you, this has been a true honor to be able to have you on the show today. I really am excited about the opportunity to speak with you, and I hope you'll come back. Would love to share with you again.
Oh, thank you. I'd love that. Thanks so much for the work you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. Again, everyone, Mark Nepo has been our guest. MarkNepo.com is the website, as you heard his mentioned, as well as all of his books are available on Amazon.com. So you guys can make sure you head over there. I mean, the books are still bestsellers, even the ones, as we mentioned earlier, my first book I read of his some 7 years ago, The Book of Awakening, still in the top 20 for Kindle books, in the top 10 for hardcover books. I mean, an amazing book that really helps you to look at your life and what you can accomplish. And I think that is what all of us should be doing. We thank all of you for tuning in today in whatever platform that you're listening to us in. If you came in late and missed part of the conversation, you know what to do. Head over to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those sites. I've already tagged Mark both on his Facebook fan page as well as his Twitter handle, so you guys can stay in contact with him. Make sure you guys are following him, as you heard him mention here. He's going to be a part of Oprah's amazing tour that's taking place this year. So make sure you guys are going to Oprah.com for all of the details about that. Until next time, I am Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.